The Holy Gospel this morning, a reading from the 19th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. We begin at the 16th verse. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good, and if you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. And Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I've kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We've left everything to follow you. What then will be there for us?" And Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last. Many who are last will be first." These words of Jesus reach us as we have heard from the first Yeshua, Joshua, the word that is the precursor of the name Jesus, as he is quite ready to take on the mantle of leadership, struggling with that identity God proclaims to him, "Be strong and courageous." And Jesus says, with us, human beings, things will be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You may be seated. Well, so good to see each of you today. I'm going to come down into your presence this morning. Get close, since you're a little far away. We could have everybody come and sit around the altar today. That would be kind of, you're looking at me like I'm crazy, I know. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for today. Opportunity to take another step back in time into your story, the storyboard that you have set before us, which leads to where we are today. Help us to connect to the story of Israel one more time and learn a lot about who we are sitting here on this morning in the year 2016. Use the story of old to be the story of the present so that we might take future steps with you right by our side. We're thankful for those who have gone before us, what it teaches us, what we learn, and for your gift of new life, the new life which comes in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, there's one thing I'm sure of in this room. There are obstacles and there are situations that you struggle with. I do too. And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that they are our giants. These things that loom out there, and oftentimes we breathe into them and give them life. There are things that will take us down and overwhelm us. There are things that cause us worry, and you're looking at me like, that doesn't happen to me. Yeah, it does. You know it does. Things that are filled with worry and pain and struggle, and you enter into a new situation, and all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, I'm over my head in deep water. What do I do? There's a giant looming, breathing this life into a situation sometimes quite imagined by the human brain, other times fueled by dynamics which are surrounding us in our culture today. But we all get overwhelmed, and these giants loom large. And I want you to start to think about, what are the giants that kind of spin around your existence, that you allow to exist in your existence, that you allow to be present, that you give life into? So this past week, we had the third presidential debate. Interesting. What was more interesting to me is what one of our major news outlets did. They took a group of, I think, about 12, 15 people, and they put them in a room. Maybe you saw this. And they watched them during the debate. They mic'd them. They watched them. They watched what they were saying and how their body language was responding and the conversations between one another. It got pretty volatile. In fact, there were some expletives that were dropped between a few of them as they got viciously involved in this. They even monitored their heart rates, and they found throughout the debate, I'm sure if you monitored any of our heart rates, the same things were happening. Things were spiking at regular intervals, and this political season is a season of stress, isn't it? Big giant out there. We know election day is coming, and we all go, what's happening in this world? Is the giant going to come down and devour us? So last week, before the Cubs wrapped up their World Series entrance, the Cubs were down 1-2 to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I watched as there were a lot of people who were anxious at that moment. Was the curse of the Billy Goat real? Was this giant of people's imagination real? And, you know, I had to talk some people back off the ledge this week. What happens in our minds? When situations erupt, we breathe, I believe this, I believe it full-heartedly, we breathe into situations, dynamics in our lives, life. And they become bigger than life. They become our giants. I'd like for you to begin to think about, what are your giants in your life? Well, today, as we come to God's storyboard, we enter into movement 2, another chapter along the life of the story of Israel. If you remember, movement 1 in God's storyboard is the garden, where everything is pure and beautiful, and God is walking with the people he created. And then people who have gone before us, they fell away from God. They chose to walk in an opposite direction, and the fall happens, ushered out of the garden. And the story of Israel begins, this palpable story filled with many moments in time of God being present and then people trying to take back control. Well, today we enter into the story as the people of Israel are ready for the second time to be able to go into the promised land. Second time, you might ask. You know, if you remember and you rewind the story, there was a first time. It happened right after they had been given the tablets from God at Mount Sinai of the Ten Commandments. It happened after God had established the tabernacle, which was a moving sanctuary that would be mobile, and it would go where the people went. It had inside of it the Ark of the Covenant, which housed the Ten Commandments. But what was most important about the tabernacle is God said, I will move with you wherever you go. So along the journey, the people of Israel, a year encampment at Sinai, begin to move. God's with them. And God brings them this plan. You're not that far away, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month from the promised land. Why don't you send out a scouting expedition? Go into the promised land and come back with a report of what you find. And so Moses set into motion this plan of God. 12 individuals, one from each one of the tribes of Israel, went into the promised land. And then they came back with a report. And the report is quite interesting. Two of them came back and said, we could do this, no problems whatsoever. Caleb and Joshua. But 10 came back, and their report was, there are giants in that land, and we're like grasshoppers. The connotation is, they're going to squish us. They're going to step on us, and we're going to be obliterated. Now, along this journey, that's what the people of Israel begin to hear. When you're in a room of 12 people and you're trying to make a decision and 10 voices want to go this way and say no, or maybe this is where we should go, and two voices say, well, how about this over here? Who wins? And so 10 voices said no, two voices said go, 10 voices said no, two voices said go, and the people listened to the no. God had promised them a land flowing in milk and honey. But because of this report that there were big, huge nations, giant individuals, there were fortified, it was a place flowing in milk and honey, beautiful, but that didn't matter. The obstacles were too large, and the people of Israel breathed into this moment life that was not God's life. The life of other human beings took over. The opinions started to flow that we were in trouble as a nation. No matter what God was telling us, we knew better. When giants win, people lose. When giants win, individuals like you and me get lost. I believe this is a learning not only from the people of Israel, but it's a learning into our lives here today. Because I believe we are a culture and a product of long ago, past, into our present. And I believe you and me, on a regular basis, breathe too much life into situations and allow them to overwhelm us and take us down and make us feel sad and despondent. And we don't react or follow in the path God wants us to follow because we're frightened. We're overwhelmed. We think we're going to crash and burn. But that's not what God says. It's not what he said long ago. And it's not what he says today. So enter into chapter 1 of Joshua. Here's Joshua, fledgling Joshua, who's been able to make it through this journey in the wilderness for 40 years. And now he is having handed to him the baton of leadership. And who does he follow? Moses. The Moses of the burning bush before God. The Moses of the let my people go. The Moses of the lift up his rod and the Red Sea parts. The Moses of hit it on the rock and water comes out. The Moses who did powerful things. And Joshua said, I got to follow that guy. You know, just from a human quotient, he was frightened. His knees were knocking. And so God knew that his knees were knocking. And so as Diane read today, I don't know if you counted how many times God repeats it, it's four, into Joshua's existence. He says, be strong and courageous. I am with you always. Be strong and courageous. Well, Joshua not only has following Moses as a fear factor in his life. He also has this story that we're going to now read in between the lines of Scripture a little bit, based on what we know human nature to be, and I would believe we'd all come to the same conclusion. So the storyline 40 years ago, prior to this time where Joshua is being told by God to lead the people into the promised land across the Jordan River. He's frightened and God says, be strong and courageous. The storyline 40 years previous was there are giants there and we're grasshoppers and we're going to be squashed. So what do people like us do with bad news that has no final answer to it? Do we let it dry up and blow away? No, we don't. We keep it alive, don't we? We are constantly talking about it. What did people say when Christopher Columbus wanted to sail around the world? It's flat. You're going to go off the edge. And that was the story that kept cycling through. Same thing happens here. You know Joshua, when he hit that moment before God, when he was being handed the baton, not only had to follow from Moses in leadership, but he had planned probably this kind of recording in the back of his mind. Whoa, I've been there. I know the people are large. What if the 10 who came back were really real in their assessment of this situation? What if we are like grass? What if we crash and burn and it's on my watch? And it could have been what would cause Joshua at that moment to freeze. But God said to him, that's like people's opinion. There are battles to fight. There are obstacles ahead. There will be great nations that you will conquer, but I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. I think it would be good for us to say that together today. Ready? Be strong and courageous. Try it again. Be strong and courageous. I think those words need to echo in our brain the minute we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night. Be strong and courageous. Because there are too many places where we can crash and burn, where we breathe life into things which aren't real, but they feel real. They're walking through the valley of the shadow of death moments, but the 23rd Psalm says, we won't fear because you are with me, God. And God says that to Joshua, be strong and courageous, have confidence, I will be with you always. So Joshua takes God up on his great adventure. And you can read, I want to encourage you to, whether in the story, which is Randy Frizzé's way of taking Scripture and kind of making it easy to read, parts of Scripture and parts of commentary in that book, or picking up your own Bible and reading from Joshua 1, you will find these magnificent moments where Joshua trusts that God will make him strong and courageous. First thing that they do, they cross the Jordan River. Sounds like it would be easy, but it's not. What you'll find is the Jordan River was at flood stage. It had kind of like pushed across its banks, and they didn't have boats. So how are they going to get across? God provided a plan. It's kind of the mini Red Sea version 2. And the plan was, trust me on this, Joshua, you tell the Levites, the priests, to take the Ark of the Covenant and the movable tabernacle, take that down to the edge of the river and just put their feet in it. See what happens. The minute their big toe went in, it parts. It becomes like a couple inches and they're able to walk across to the other side. Yeah, God's there. He's doing powerful things. He told me to be strong and courageous. He's making good on his promise. They get to the other side. God instructs Joshua to have each of the 12 tribes to have a designated resource to go back into that river and get a big river rock and put it on the edge of the bank and create this pile of rocks so that when people go by in future generations and they see that pile of rock, they're to say, what is that doing here? And you're able to say, that's when God did powerful things. Yeah, we were strong and courageous. We did it. We followed with God. They next hit this fortified structure known as Jericho. Now, I'm sure when you were in Sunday school, many of you, you marched around the Sunday school room, didn't you? And you blew little toy trumpets and screamed at the top of your lungs. What a crazy way to conquer a fortified city. But that's what God does sometimes. He takes our human thought process and he totally turns it on its ear and he says, trust me, just trust me. Be strong and courageous. I'm going to be with you. Trust me. It's exactly what Joshua does. And along the way, they conquer this fortified city of Jericho. As they march around it, they scream and yell and blow some trumpets, and the walls come tumbling down. Crazy. Along the way, God also uses some unique individuals. Not the ones I think human beings would have set in motion as leaders to help the nation of Israel. But it's a great reminder, God said, that I want to help you to understand that I will use what's in people's hearts, not what is necessarily on the outside. And so one of the individuals he uses is a woman by the name of Rahab. Rahab's vocation, she's a prostitute. God uses a prostitute in the middle of a moment of critical military acumen to help the people of Israel figure out how to conquer Jericho so that they can have the walls. Yes, he does. And she rises to fame. Read the book of Hebrews, that wonderful piece where the great annals of those past and their faith journey, the Hall of Faith it's called. Rahab's in the Hall of Faith. And you'll also find, if you look at the lineage of Jesus, guess where Jesus' life travels through in past ancestry? Right through the home of Rahab. God's saying something loud and clear that the human way we often see things, or the things that we give time and energy to, or the things that we're concerned or worried about, are not the way God does what God can do. And God's powerful. But along the way, there are some bumps in the road. You'll read about this nation, powerful nation of the Amorites and the city of Ai, as the Israelites approach it and they want to conquer, and they're really excited about conquering, and they go into battle and they lose. Because there's been one in their midst who took something sacred from the tabernacle. And God said, you didn't listen. Jacob falls down on his face and he says, God, why did you bring me out here just to die? Sounds familiar. I think I heard Moses say that before when he was in like situations. And God reminds Jacob, you're the one on your watch who'd allow this individual to go and take something from me which was not theirs. Everything gets sorted back to where it needs to. This individual ends up dying. His sins are cleansed. Pre-Jesus moment. He's disobeyed God. He's broken covenant. But then the nation of Israel goes and defeats the Amorites. And when God breathes life into them, they are successful. They move forward. When they begin to breathe their own life into themselves or other things around them, when they begin to take the driving steering wheel away from God, bad things happen. If you haven't figured this out, this is this circular cyclical pattern of the nation of Israel. What ends up happening is God comes and proclaims great things in the midst of their trials and tribulations, and he does great things. He tells them to be strong and courageous. They take up their battle arms for God, and their hearts are one with God, and they cheer God on. And then what ends up happening? They begin to doubt. They begin to breathe life into other things. They begin to do things their own way. And when I look back at this secular pattern that we see in the nation of Israel over and over again repeating itself, I look at it and I say, that's us. It's exactly what we do. We need help from God. God comes and brings us help. We travel with God for a while because, yeah, you and me, Lord, you and me. And then something happens that diverts our attention. Something happens which sends us into a negative zone, and we breathe life into it. And we become beholden to the giants of our own existence rather than the power of a God who says, be strong and courageous. You go back and get in touch with the rich young man who I read from Matthew 19 for you today. Think of his journey quickly with me. Think of this man who comes to Jesus with the right question. What must I do to get to your kingdom? That's a great question, isn't it? It's a question we ask all the time in our faith journey. And Jesus said, just keep my commandments, love God, love your neighbor. And he goes, I've done it. I guess I'm in. But Jesus says to him, no, you've got a giant in your life. And your giant happens to be your wealth. Now stop for a minute and let's step outside of this story and just think about what wealth does to us as human beings. Every one of us is on this journey, and I know we all believe this in our fictional environment as human beings, that we all believe if only we had X, we'd be fine. We may not tell another person about it, but deep inside we think, if only I just had another, you know, few $100,000 or throw a few million in there, God, I wouldn't be disturbed about that. My life would just be just perfect. And I believe any of us would quickly begin to recognize that that is not perfection. That's a giant that we create of our own existence that we think it's going to solve all of life's ills, and what it does is it creates more problems. We become self-centered. We become drawn inside of ourselves. We become prideful. We become arrogant. We become greedy. And God wants us to give it away. I have a friend who says that he wants to die with empty pockets and worn-out shoes. I love that image. Because what we possess is not our own, it's God's. And Jesus says to this rich man, give it away to the poor people, those who are disenfranchised. Give it away to those who need it. God has this wonderful love in Scripture from the Old Testament through to the New Testament through to today to love orphans and widows, to love the disenfranchised, the least of these. And when we have something which is in our possession that we breathe too much life into that gets in the way of us doing that, it becomes a giant of our own making. And that was the fall of the rich young man. So what's the giant that we have in our possession today that's eating us up, that's dry? It could be our wealth. And if it is, maybe you just need to do another assessment and a prayer time before God to ask God, how can you use your resources to further his kingdom? And I believe I know God will show you how to use them. Could be this political thing that we're going through. Maybe it's gotten so big and so emotional in your life that every conversation you have with another person is it's volatile, it's extreme. Maybe you're losing sleep at night. Maybe you think Armageddon's gone. I don't know what you think. But I want to help you to focus. In the book of Romans, Paul talks about on the earth authorities in chapter 13. I want to read just one verse. You can go read the entire chapter 13 for yourself. But let me read just Romans 13:1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And you say to yourself, are you kidding me? That's not the way I see it playing out. There's just too much. If this person, that, you don't think the supreme ruler of all things who created every person on the face of this earth, including those two candidates, can't infuse life into their lives? We need to refocus, not breathe life into giants that gobble us up and put us at wit's end or arm's way in you know, fists drawn. God wants to embrace each other with love. And maybe it is the environment that a lot of people, I saw a lot of happy people with Cubs championship jerseys on when I walked in. And I think it's really cool. I do. I've been through it before in my life with the teams I root for. And it's fun. It's just a fun time. But mark this moment. Breathe too much life into it, and it will become a giant. It will. Been there, done that. And probably 8-9 years from now, no one will ever remember that it had, well, they'll remember with the Cubs. Yes, they would. It's been so long. But you know, when God's great halls of God's kingdom, he doesn't care who wins. It makes us happy who wins. He doesn't care. Why do we breathe so much life into the sporting arena and think that that makes a difference about where we're going to move toward eternity? Is that your giant? That you're spending too much time and investing too much? Because, you know, if they lose, there'll be a lot of talking people back off the ledge. And, you know I just spoke heresy today. I'm sorry. But the reality is, if we spend too much time with anything, breathing life into it, our job, if you work too much and you're not spending time with your family, your job has become a giant that's gobbling you up, and you say, but I'm providing for my kids' education, I'm putting bread on the, I've heard all of the excuses. But your family's falling apart. If you have relationships that you are not caring for because you have this I know what's right mentality all the time, and you've broken relationship with another human being because they were wrong and you were right, you've created a giant. And that giant's going to gobble you up and take you down the wrong path. If you allow your emotions to get out of control, your pride to soar, your anger to rage, anything that goes into that negative zone, it becomes a giant and it will eat you up. God says there will be battles. And we know there will be giants. But God says, be strong and courageous. I will be with you always. I will guide and direct you. I'll bring you hope, promise, and a future. I'd like to conclude today with just reading some scripture for you to bathe you. Maybe this will help. It helped me this week. It's from the second chapter of Paul's letter to the people of Philippi, what's known as Philippians. Just listen and see if you make some connections. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not at your own interests, but also make sure you look at the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Your attitude should be the same as that as Christ Jesus. And I can hear God say to Joshua, be strong and courageous. I am with you always. Let's pray. Lord, guide us on this crazy adventure known as life. As we learn from the people of Israel today and the rich young man, we learn about our own lives. Help us to really desire to not embrace giants of our own making. Moments where we validate by our own thought processes that we were right, but rather just stop and become humble like Jesus. That our knees would bow and our tongues would confess that you are Lord and you guide our lives. And when we put our trust in you, all things work for good. Even when battles rage, may you help us defeat those giants by staying strong and courageous and knowing you are always with us to the end of the age. We give thanks that you are present today and you will be present tomorrow and in the days ahead. Lord, help us to be led while you guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.